5.5.
WPG. Talk Radio 95.5.
And welcome to Sunday Morning with Dan Brown here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Welcome this fine Sunday morning. And as always, we truly appreciate you taking the time to tune in and to listen to our program. We thank you for your questions and your comments. And should this be your first time, or if you have some questions about today's program or a program from the past, please contact me at SundayMorningDanBrown@yahoo.com. That's SundayMorningDanBrown@yahoo.com. Again, welcome to Sunday Morning with Dan Brown. Our program today is an interesting program, and it revolves around the ministry of the unnoticed. Those of us who work continued in the ministry, but aren't always seen, because so often there are standouts, however, that are seen. And the New Testament really does notice things which from our standpoint don't even really seem to count sometimes and really go unnoticed. And I'll give you an example. Our Lord, he only called 12 disciples. But what about all those other disciples? We know it goes on to have a lot of other disciples that were called. And the 12 disciples, the idea behind, we know what happened. Those 12 disciples were called for a special purpose. But there were hundreds who followed Christ and were sincere believers in him and who went unnoticed, absolutely unnoticed. And so we're apt to have a very disproportionate view sometimes of a person of faith, of a believer, because we only look at the exceptions, right? The standouts. And so, again, the exceptions stand out as exceptions, like Paul and Peter. The extraordinary conversions and phenomenal experiences are magnificent specimens, right, of what happens in the life of everyone. But not one in a million has an experience like the Apostle Paul. We all have different kinds of experiences. So if we take the extraordinary experience like Paul and Peter had and individuals like that, if we take that experience as a model for the Christian life, we're absolutely going to erect a wrong standard without even knowing it. Not everyone is a Peter. Not everyone is a Paul. Not everyone is a Stephen, right? And the others, there were others. So it's interesting as we examine these things, because the majority of us, we're unnoticed and we're unnoticeable people. But that doesn't take away our faith. It doesn't make us any less valuable. So that's the thing that we have to be very, very careful for. And so if we erect a wrong standard without knowing it, and in the passing of the years, we begin to project something that is really horrible. We could present this spiritual prig. I don't know if you know what a word, you got to say that word carefully. It's an old-time word that you don't hear much of anymore. But a prig is somebody who's, and I am saying P-R-I-G, in case you're wondering, it is somebody who feels that they're a holier-than-thou person, right? If you look up the definition of that word, you're going to see something quite interesting, in that we become self-righteous or moralistic, and we can have a tendency, if we're not cautious, to behave as if somehow we're spiritually superior. Don't we have to be cautious of that in our walk? Very, very, very cautious. And so the man or woman who becomes this kind of feeling better than they're someone else, or morally superior in some way, they do so by almost imperceptible degrees. But the starting point all the time is the departure from the basics of our New Testament. And so we have to be careful of departing from our work of Scripture and building up on our Protestantism. We have to be very careful of those two things because they can lead to something wrong. Once we begin to follow something that is an ism, we're most of the time in some kind of trouble, if you understand what I mean. We can find ourselves in a place that is not good. So we have to be very cautious and careful of how we do that. And literally, you know, we have this scripture in Matthew 5, verse 3 that says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And I think that literally it means blessed are the paupers in spirit. And a pauper is somebody who is exceedingly commonplace and lowly. So here Jesus is saying, blessed are you who are commonplace, right? The average type of preaching that we see emphasizes on the strength of will, of beauty of character, and the things that can be easily noticed. But yet the majority of us go unnoticed. That doesn't mean, again, that we're not valuable, that we're not participating in the work of Christ. So we want to be cautious about that. The phrase, if you think about it, you've heard this phrase before, decide for Christ, which is so frequently heard, is too often an emphasis on the thing our Lord never trusted. Oh, what do you say? Our Lord never asked us to decide for him. He asked us to yield to him. There is a difference. I think that's very important. It's a very different matter. And at the basis of our Lord's kingdom is an unaffected lovingness of the commonplace. That's the basis of our Lord's kingdom. Who does he reach after? Who does he tell us time after time after time to take care of, lift up, take care of the poor, take care of the widows? Right? Take care of the orphans. That is the definition of true religion. That is what we do. James talks to us about that. And the thing which I am blessed in is in my poverty. And if I know I have no strength of will, that I have no nobility of disposition, then says Jesus to you and I, if we feel this way, blessed are you, because it is through that poverty, because you've given away everything of yourself to the will of Christ, to the will of God. Blessed are you, because it is through that poverty that I enter into the kingdom, of heaven. And I cannot enter the kingdom of heaven as a good man or a good woman. I can only enter the kingdom of heaven as a complete pauper. Now you begin to see how this picture comes together. It's really amazing. And when we talk about the influence of the disadvantage, in Solomon, in the Song of Solomon in chapter 2, verse 2, he says, as a lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. The lily of Solomon refers to is as common as a daisy, but a perfume emanates from it. The illustration is as if a traveler was passing a field and suddenly a fragrant aroma, he picked it up from a bush, and marveling at the sweetness, he looked at the bush and he found a lily growing in its bosom. And people come to the good but worldly home and say, what a beautiful influence comes from that home. But what I need you to see is to begin to draw aside the ordinary common things and commonplace things of the home, and you discover that tucked away somewhere is a mother, somewhere is a daughter who is really the lily of the Lord. And yet among us, she is looked at as commonplace. I hope that really hits home and sets deep into your heart. I really do. Or take it as a connection with individual lives, right? We may see a man who is generally disadvantaged in appearance, or even in education, or thoroughly a commonplace man. Yet, a marvelous influence radiates from him. Our Lord is spoken of as a root out of a dry ground. Thoroughly disadvantaged, right? That's what Isaiah says. The hero of God will be like. The true character of the lovingness that tells us God is always for what? The true character of lovingness that tells us God is always with us and looking. Conscience influence is very un-Christian because it is stemming. What we seek is God's influence, God's will, and not ours. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Sunday Morning with Dan Brown here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. We'll be right back after this. Please stay tuned.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
Fox 2.
I'm Anna Eliopoulos. Streaming now on Fox Nation, Outlaws and Lawmen, The West. Over four episodes, Fox News host Sean Hannity will delve into the true stories of some of the most legendary figures of the Wild West, including Butch Cassidy and Billy the Kid.
In the process, I found that not only did I like watching these movies over the years, but I got so interested in the full and complete story.
He explores law versus crime and hero versus villain and shows how that led to the rise of modern law enforcement.
When I find myself in times of trouble.
On Disney Plus, Let It Be, a remastered version of the documentary capturing the Beatles recording their final studio album of the same name and documenting an unannounced rooftop concert, the last one the Fab Four ever played together. Also on Disney Plus on Friday, the new season of Doctor Who, with a time-traveling 15th Doctor and a brand new companion. That's Fox Tube on Fox News.
Sunday Morning with Dan Brown, WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And welcome back to Sunday Morning with Dan Brown here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Welcome to this fine Sunday morning program. The title of our program today is The Unnoticed. I think it's a very important program, as so often we compare ourselves with the standouts throughout the scriptures and we kind of look to each other. Oh, am I being a Paul or am I being a Peter or a Stephen? And we find that that is not everyone and that's not meant for everyone. Some will be martyrs. Some will be teachers. Some will be preachers. Some will be deacons. Some will be mothers and daughters and fathers and sons carrying on the gospel throughout the world, one-on-one. It may not always be in big displays before people, before congregations, and before masses. But the one-on-one is just as important at those who share the gospel, one-on-one, each and every day. And I want you to celebrate in your uncommonness. And I know that's kind of a hard thing to grasp for the moment, but I think as we continue through the program, I think it'll have some more clarity for you so that you can not celebrate yourself in a way that makes you stand up and stick out your chest and say, I'm the best. That's not what I'm saying either. But understand that God uses us in any state that we are, meets us in any place we are. And so as I continue on with the program today, The Unnoticed, I hope that it really begins to move your heart. So as we left off in the first segment of the program today, we were talking about that character that comes from God. It should come from us unconsciously, not forced out, not forced with strong feelings in a way that makes us be prideful or feeling as though somehow, as I used that word prigger earlier, that we're self-righteous and that we are superior to others. And sometimes, and I've heard it said, and I've seen it said, where people feel that they are somehow superior to other people. And that is never what we want to emulate or come from us. There is something that should flow from us, because when we begin to wonder whether we're any use to Christ, we instantly lose that bloom of touch of the Lord. When he touches us, it's not about us consciously trying to do something. It is, we don't need to think, am I being of use to God? God will use us. And more than likely, most of the time, we may not even know it. So that it's not coming from our will, but it coming from the Lord's will itself. And he says that he that believeth on me, out of him shall flow rivers of living water. If we begin to examine the outflow, and we've had this discussion before, we lose touch with the source. If we step back and try to examine what is God doing in me in this way, we can lose touch with the source. And who is the source? God is the source. We have to pay attention to the source, and God will look after our outflow. We don't look after what we do. We don't count how many people we believe were touched and received salvation by what we've said or participated in. That's not what God is seeking. What he is seeking is your attention fully on him, fully in him, fully laying down your will to have his will done in your life. And I think the same thing is true with regard to the passion for souls. You know, we hear that a lot about the passion for souls and for the great craze. And I was just touching on this, but we'll talk about it a little more. But the same thing is true when it comes to the regard for the passion for souls and the great craze for the successful service. Now, our Lord told the disciples not to rejoice in the successful, the successful service, but rejoice because they were rightly related to him. I hope that's clear. I hope you understand that. So that they were rightly, within what was being said, related to the living, breathing, Almighty God and Savior. That is what is crucial. And we can see that if you want to check out a scripture in Luke chapter 10, verses 18 through 20. I think that will help you. If you get time, please study that, those few scriptures, because the danger in all these things is that we're apt to make the effect the cause. Ooh, you see how that can get mixed up. So who are people who have influenced us most? I would say it's certainly not those that feel self-righteous and that they are above other men and women. I don't believe that. But the people that have had the most influence upon us are our mothers, our fathers, our sisters, the ones who had not the remotest idea at the time that they were influencing us. See, we have those who intend to influence us, and we have those who just did it. It just did it. And they did influence us, didn't they? In 1 Kings 7:19, it says, "And the capitals that were upon the top of the pillars were of lily work." Now, I want you to understand that the lily work added nothing to the strength of a building, right? You know that. It's the pillar and its construction. The visual piece really didn't add to the strength of it. And many would notice that the strength and the majesty of the whole building, but the inspiration in it all was in the detail, am I right? In the lily work. So in the architecture, it's not so much the massive strength that counts as the finely proportioned ornament. That's what our eyes are drawn to, aren't they not? And that is never, it's never obtrusive, that ornamental work. If we look at men and women who've been long at work for God and have been going through the chastening, we notice that they have lost their individual harshness, and they've lost a great deal of the parent go-aheadness for God. But they have acquired something else. The most exquisite lily work in their lives. And this, when we're looking, after all, if you think about it, right, is the most like Jesus Christ. It is in the quiet, undisturbable divinity that is the characteristic of Jesus. Not aggressiveness, right? And the same thing is true of God's children. This doesn't mean that our Lord's work is not aggressive, right? There is a level of aggressiveness to it, but it could be a quiet aggressiveness. Again, this is the same thing that should be true of God's children. It does mean that there's a danger of making so much aggressive and so much of what we do aggressive that we neglect the more important aspect, and that is the ministry of the unnoticed. And I'll tell you, God will use any number of extraordinary things to chisel the detail of his lily work in his children. Those beautiful things that will bring people to notice you. He'll use people who are like hedgehogs, right? He'll use difficult circumstances. He'll use the weather. He'll use anything and everywhere, no matter what it is. And we should always know that when God is at work, because he produces in the commonplace something that is inspiring. And I believe that's what we need to be, and that's who we need to be like. And when our Lord described the spiritual life that we would be in, he always took his illustrations from his Father's handiwork, never from man's. We take our little illustration. What do now? We take our illustrations from motor cars and airplanes and all kinds of electric things or something go ahead, some self-advertising, right? We illustrate by means of things which compel our attention. When Jesus mentions things we are not compelled to look at, things which we would even pass by. How many of us noticed sparrows and daisies and grass? Revel in this, please. They're so plentiful, there's so much of them, we ignore them. Yet as these are the things that Jesus tells us to consider. Consider the lilies of the field. Consider the sparrow. How valuable and how wonderful creation they are, but they're plentiful and common, aren't they? The characteristic of each of these things is the implicitness, not the explicitness. Imagine a lily if it could speak, saying, I am going to be a lily. And a lily obeys the law of its life where it's placed and its unconsciousness in its growth. Wow. I am amazed at what God has directed us to in the most uncommon places. You're listening to Sunday Morning with Dan Brown here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. We'll be right back after this. Please stay tuned.
Sean Hannity.
You know, look at the price of everything. Eggs, you know, what you were paying in 2020, you're almost paying double. If you like frozen pizza, even that's a massive percentage. Butter and potato chips and cereal and milk, just the basics. What you could buy 4 years ago versus what you can buy today is 36% less. It's unreal.
Sean Hannity. on South Jersey's talk station, WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
I'm Deborah Valentine. Israel's military launching more strikes against Hamas in northern Gaza.
Troops are targeting military infrastructure in that part of the enclave.
Fox's Chanley Painter. Hamas says the new strikes killed at least six people. House Republicans launching an investigation over the president's decision to withhold congressionally approved weapons to Israel. West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin on Fox's One Nation with Brian Kilmeade.
Now making decisions on what you can and what you can't use. You got to do the our way or no way at all. That's not who we are, and that's not what we should be doing.
Upwards of 100,000 people on hand for presumptive GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump's rally in New Jersey Saturday.
We're expanding the electoral map because we are going to officially play in the state of New Jersey. We're going to win the state of New Jersey.
America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. For today, mostly cloudy and cooler with a couple of showers with a high of 56. For tonight, clearing, patching fog late with a low of 41. For tomorrow, sunny, pleasant, and warmer with a high of 70. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies with a low of 52. On Tuesday, variable clouds with a couple of showers in the afternoon with a high of 77. I'm AccuWeather's Kayla Lawrence on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Sunday morning with Dan Brown, WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And welcome to Sunday morning with Dan Brown here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Welcome this fine Sunday Sunday morning. Welcome. If you have any questions about our program today, or possibly one that you heard in the past, or something you'd like to hear talked about in the future, please contact me at SundayMorningDanBrown@yahoo.com. Also, if you'd like a free Bible, please send me your name and your address, and I will send you a Bible, mail it to you free of charge. Again, contact me at SundayMorningDanBrown@yahoo.com. And welcome to the third segment of this Sunday's program entitled The Unnoticed. And we left off talking about the commonality of lilies in a field, how there's so many. And the idea of today's program is that there is a celebration in what is uncommon. And so often we are drawn to the exceptions of our faith, the Pauls and the Peters and the Stephens, when in reality, there are many, 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 many of us. And even through Jesus's ministry, Jesus always referred to the most common things as examples. And so I think it's important for us to understand and look at what God was saying in the celebration of these uncommon and often unnoticed things. And so I believe if we really try to see the principles of obedience that our Lord is trying to teach us, purity is the outcome of an implicit relationship. But if we look at purity as the outcome of obedience to a particular standard, we end up producing the absolute opposite of what Jesus said. He said this. Our Lord intends this. He said, except ye become as little children. That's his intent for us. We're striving for all these things that are above what our will can bring us. And we step back and we're looking at our path and we're counting the souls that saved and we're counting these numbers as though somehow those things elevate us to something other than what God has intended for us. We make a mistake when we do that. Become as little children. In John 13:14, Jesus shows us something so remarkable and so unlike a king that we would understand a king being, because we have the wrong concept so often of what kings and leaders should be. But Jesus was the leader, the king that exemplified who we become as well. And so in John 13, chapter 13, verse 14, he says, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. What a common thing to do. What an unlikely thing to do. The Son of God washing humans' feet. Very dirty, unkept feet, I'm almost sure. What were the circumstances that were taking place then? We're sitting around a supper table, a dozen fishermen, if that gives you a little insight as to what their feet may smell like, a basin of water, a towel, and our Lord washing the feet of the fishermen. But notice this, there is an extraordinary climax to what John says in this verse. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God, he had come from God and went to God. And had the transfiguration scene followed on, we'd have felt it to be in the right order, right? Well, that would have seemed like, but that's not what happened. He rose up from the supper and he laid aside his garments and he took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he pours the water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Could anything have been more sordid and commonplace than that? But it takes God incarnate to do the most menial task properly. You see, he did the most menial task properly and showed in such a simple thing that he did of what he was coming to do was to wash us completely. How amazing is that? We may often use a towel to exhibit a characteristic totally unlike Jesus, don't we? Think about it. Whatever our Lord touched became wonderful. Whatever he used as an example remains in our minds for eternity. Some people do a certain thing, and the way in which they do it hallows that thing to us forever afterwards. And when our Lord does anything, he always transfigures it. Notice the words that our Lord glorified, and a word that was scorned when he came was the word servant. Servants were belittled. They were low among people. And yet Jesus said, and of you will be the chiefest. You who will be the highest shall be the servant of all. Our Lord took the words that were despised, lowly, and he transformed and transfigured their meaning. Out of our Lord was the unconscious light in the midst of the most ordinary circumstances conceivable. And I would guess that many who knew our Lord while he was on the earth saw nothing in him, only their first disposition had been altered as they realized who he was. Because it says that he didn't stick out among men, right? As he walked among common men, he wasn't noticeable. But when he did the most common thing, he transfigured those things into something eternal. Our Lord lived such an ordinary life that no one noticed him. The disciples really were first attracted to Jesus by their sense of the heroic and the holy. But it wasn't until they had received the Holy Spirit that their eyes were open and they knew him. And I would tell you, could anything be more startling, be imagined, than for someone to point out a Nazarene carpenter and say, that man is God incarnate. And that sentence and that saying among the people and among the apostles became so blasphemous to the Pharisees that they sought all of their lives and to kill Christ. Our Lord didn't say to his disciples, I have had a most successful time on earth. I've addressed thousands of people and been the means of their salvation. Now you go and do the same kind of thing. He said nothing like that, did he? But yet, how many times do we see this thought permeating in places that we are? The counting of the numbers and all of these other things that people feel are so valuable and important. And I think we have to be very, very, very cautious. Wow. He didn't say, again, I want to reiterate this. He didn't say to the disciples, I've had the most successful time. I've addressed and thousands of people. I've been the meanings of their salvation. Now you go and do that same kind of thing. He said, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. We try to get out of it by washing the feet of those who are not of our own set, right? We'll wash the feet of the heathens and the feet in the slums. But the fancy washing my brother's feet, my wife's, my husband, the feet of the minister of my church, our Lord said, one another's feet. It is in the ordinary commonplace circumstances that the unconscious light of God is seen. I am in awe by what Jesus did in those simple steps. You think about that. Think about what he did and what he said, how he conducted himself. It is in the ordinary, commonplace circumstances that the unconscious light of God is seen. He says to us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. Speaking to you and me and all of us who have given ourselves, accepted his sacrifice on the cross, we've made a conscious choice to supplant our own will with God's. And so as we move forward in that, all of us, we're not necessarily the standouts. We're not necessarily the exceptions, the Peters and the Pauls and the Stephens. And, you know, I could go on for more. But we're the lilies, we're the sparrows, and we are very valuable in his sight. You're listening to Sunday Morning with Dan Brown here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. We'll be right back after this. Please stay tuned.
South Jersey's talk station, WPG Talk Radio 95.5. With Jim F. Sunday Morning with Dan Brown, WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
And welcome back to Sunday Morning with Dan Brown here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Thank you so much for joining us today. Time does go fast. We're in our fourth segment of today, the fourth and final segment. And I hope that this program today, The Unnoticed, has moved you in some way. The program is supposed to be an impetus for you to continue to research and study and seek God, seek that intimate relationship with the living, breathing creator of the universe, because that is what he seeks of you. He seeks his will to be done in your life. And I pray that that is so. And so as we continue today with The Unnoticed, I pray again that it will move your heart and move you in such a special way that you would continue to share the gospel, unrelenting, sharing the gospel with a holy aggressiveness. Not an aggressiveness to drive your point or to be right. And I will tell you, as a young believer, feeling on fire, so often the point was driven to be right. And it should never be about being right, but it should be about sharing the gospel so that they connect with the Savior. Sharing the words that help them understand how much God loves them. And then they begin their journey, as you have, in a wonderful, intimate relationship with the God of all creation. An interesting thing in the New Testament, the word world is used a lot. And the word world means the system of things that's been built on God's earth. Because remember, this is God's earth. As the Bible says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything is God's. But when the word world is used in the scriptures, it's used as the system of things that man has created on God's earth. And the systems of religion or the society of civilization never, never takes Jesus Christ into account. That's the world. That is the world. Now, Jesus says we're to be a light there. We're to be a light to those that are in the world. And so we need to take on this pattern and print. We need to put on this pattern and print of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Not the pattern and the print of the world. We get lost in that. And immediately we try to be what Jesus wants us to be. We shall find the truth of what he said. And they shall cast out your name as evil. And so often when we bring the gospel to help people to understand God's love, we are cast aside, and the words that we say by the world are valued as nothing, meaningless. The camp to which we belong will do it. We will do it, but not the world. And it's easiest to remain true to our camp sometimes than to Jesus when we're being drawn out of the world. So many are drawn back. It's easier to be loyal to our convictions than to our Savior. And remember how many things there are to get lost in this world, from sports teams to political things, left and right. But brothers and sisters, we have one King. We have a leader. We only need to submit our will to him. He says to us, to his people, you are the light of the world. And we have this idea that things are going to shine in heaven, right? We have this idea that we as individuals are going to shine in heaven. What we forget is that we are to shine here as well. And he says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or generation, we are to shine. We are to shine as lights in the world in the most squalid places. And it can't be done by putting on some brazen smile. The light must be there all the time. Ye are the light of the world. We ourselves are to be the light wherever we go. But if we ever become conscious of it, we should be amazed, as Mary of Bethany must have been amazed at Jesus' interpretation of her own act of devotion. Mary did a simple thing. She discharged her overburdened heart in a demonstration of affection for Jesus. But what did he say about her? It was very important what he said. He said that whosoever this gospel and wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, what she has done shall be spoken of as a memorial to her. It is amazing. It is amazing. The light that we have is to be shown in all our trifling ways of our home life as well. And so often we are in church on Sunday and we're back at the same thing on Monday. You've heard that before. And I'll tell you, the average evangelical presentation can really produce sometimes, I don't know, maybe some frustrations with our unnoticed ways, our trifling ways, so that we have to be cautious. A preacher of the gospel can be the most objectionable being at home instead of giving his light in ordinary ways. I am in no means trying to point fingers at anyone, because we all do the same things and we all fall by the wayside the same way. Our Lord tells us not to judge the preacher or the teacher, right? But when we do, we are to know them by their fruits. And the fruit is not the salvation of souls, but of love, of joy, and of peace. And we get much more concerned about not offending other people than about offending our Lord. How many times have we gone down that road lately? Our Lord often offended people. But it wasn't by cursing and yelling or this or that. It was by simply saying truthful things. They took offense at that because it was not their way of life. It is not how they wanted to be. But one thing I will tell you, he never did. He never put a stumbling block in anyone's way, ever. Our Lord did not say, you must preach the right thing. It's an easy business to preach, right? It's easy to tell other people what to do, but it's another thing to have God's message turned into a boomerang. You've been teaching these people that they should be full of grace and joy. But what about us? What about me, right? Myself as well. I'm included in this. Are you full of peace and joy? The truthful witness among us and with us and around us, if we're to be the truthful witness, is the one who lets the light shine, which works to exhibit the disposition of Jesus. One who lives the truth as well as preaches it. It's amazing what God has asked us to do. I pray that we do so. I talk a lot about hard subjects for us to come to grips with sometimes, but it's a cautious walk. And we need to be reminded and we need to discuss amongst ourselves sometimes, are we living what we're preaching? Do we feel that we're better than others? Do we look down at others who we see, those who are dirty and unkept, the homeless, the broken, those who have addicted lifestyles? Do we judge them? We're not supposed to judge anyone, as we've never even walked in their shoes or known the path that they have gone. But we're supposed to love everyone, including our enemies. So I pray this Sunday morning that you do that very same thing. That if you felt yourself slipping away, that you rekindle that intimate relationship with the God of all creation, with our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you for listening to Sunday Morning with Dan Brown here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Before I go, I'd like to ask you to do a thing, a special thing for me. I would ask you to think about taking care of those that are in need and those that may be looked down upon and those that may be, we might look away from. And I'm speaking about the homeless and the indigent and the poor in our communities. And one way that you can accomplish this, because Jesus said, where were you when I was hungry, crying out to us, where were you when I needed help? And I will tell you that the Atlantic City Rescue Mission for 60 years has been helping those in need in the southern New Jersey region. Now, I'm limiting that by saying the southern New Jersey region, but the Atlantic City Rescue Mission happens to be placed for whatever God's purpose was in the middle of Atlantic City, which people come from all over the world. So we have an opportunity to meet and see and share the gospel with people from around the entire globe. So I pray today that God will move your heart to help us continue this great work by making a donation. And you can do that by going on to acrescuemission.org, opening the donation page, and click on the Donate Now button, and give however God moves your heart. I pray that you've been blessed by our program, and thank you for listening to Sunday Morning with Dan Brown here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.